While the truth is hopefully the goal for everyone in all instances, there are some occasions, if you want to be honest about it, when you might bend the truth in order to protect a friend. Now, when that truth bending is done to protect a friend who may have done something damaging to others, that bending pretty much becomes a dangerous dishonesty. While the political conventions had been going on, the federal government finally released the classified 28 pages, which were actually 29, of the 9/11 Commission report. Some thought this timing was so nobody would notice, but we did, and several other people did, and that release has reignited concerns about how the truth continues to be bent by the American government for our so-called friends, the Saudis. Here to guide us through a look at what was released and what's still missing is one of the few people who strongly pushed for that initial investigation, the formation of the commission, and search for the truth, Kristen Breitweiser. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for the fight that you started way back when, and, well, unfortunately, just to get to the truth, that fight continues in the here and now. But just for a backdrop and background on you, you are one of the 9/11 family victims who were collectively known as the Jersey Girls. Talk about who you lost that day, and how did you find out what was happening that day in September 11, 2001?
My husband, Ron, worked on the 94th floor of the South Tower, and he was 39 years old, and he had called me to tell me that he was okay, that it wasn't his building that was on fire or had the accident, and he didn't want me to worry. And so I had no idea what he was talking about, but I put on the news and saw what was going on in the building next to him, and he wanted to assure me that he was safe, that he was okay, and that they were being told to stay at their desks, and that he just didn't want me to worry. And so he got off the phone with me, and a few moments later, with the television still on, I saw his building explode approximately where I knew he was. And subsequent to that, through a variety of different ways, support groups mainly, I ended up becoming friends with some of the other 9/11 widows whose husbands were killed that day, and many of us just wanted answers as to what had happened, you know, how it was able to happen, essentially why our husbands went to work one day and never came home. And more than anything, we had small children, and we wanted to know that everything was going to be done to learn lessons to ensure that no other child, no other family would have to suffer the sort of loss that we did on 9/11. And in fighting for an investigation to provide answers so that we could learn lessons, we found a lot of foot dragging, a lot of cover up, a lot of lack of cooperation on behalf of the U.S. government and its agencies and officials in wanting to investigate the mistakes that happened, in wanting to correct the problems so that going forward, the nation would be safer. And unfortunately, you know, as I just said, the U.S. government was not very cooperative in that regard.
Or very willing to investigate, as we've come to learn over the years. And I guess that's something you have to take into consideration when you look at the 19 pages. What was known then in a few of the cases and some of the names and what we know now, you know, devil's advocate, two different things. But back then, if I understand correctly, the staff director of the 9/11 Commission, Philip Zekerlo, basically had a hands-off attitude regarding Saudi Arabia. Anything you see, and by the way, if you look through the commission report, the only government, the only country that has a direct study of it in some way, shape, or form, it's not Iran, not Iraq, not Syria, not Yemen, it's Saudi Arabia. But Philip Zekerlo just basically wanted to keep as much hands-off with Saudi Arabia, apparently, as was possible.
That's exactly it. And so just to be clear, the 29 pages comes from the Joint Inquiry of Congress's investigation into 9/11. And the staff director for that investigation was Eleanor Hill. And it's documented, in fact, very well documented, that their attempt to investigate the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia was thwarted by the Bush administration and by the FBI and other intelligence agencies not cooperating by handing over the documents and essentially saying and telling the Joint Inquiry what they knew. The 29 pages came from that investigation. One of the ways we fought to get a 9/11 commission was by saying the Joint Inquiry ran out of time, they weren't able to fully investigate the 9/11 attacks, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We need an independent investigation to look into these things and answer these questions. Well, so the 9/11 Commission was created. Their mandate was to specifically investigate areas like Saudi Arabia. And the staff director for the 9/11 Commission, Phil Zelikow, did not want the Saudis investigated. In fact, he fired one of the key investigators who went over to the 9/11 Commission to specifically look into the Saudi ties to 9/11. And thereafter, he rewrote whole sections of the 9/11 Commission report, specifically the part dealing with the Saudis, to make it less damning. So the reality is, when you hear the President of the United States, President Obama, or various other officials say, well, the 9/11 Commission looked into this, this is all raw data, it's been investigated, there's nothing there, that's actually not true. It hasn't been fully investigated. There still remains an enormous amount of questions, specifically surrounding the role Saudi Arabia played in the 9/11 attacks. You know, just a simple example is there's 80,000 documents currently under review by a federal judge in Florida directly related to the 9/11 attacks and allegedly the Saudi role in those attacks. And those 80,000 documents were never given to the Joint Inquiry or the 9/11 Commission. And the White House has never seen them. Nobody's ever seen them. So that's just one simple example of how we're not really being told the truth. We're not giving all of the information with regard to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's role in the 9/11 attack.
And this whole attempt at diverting and hiding the truth spans the political parties, even to today when there was the talk of the legislation that would have allowed families such as yourself to sue Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia fired back that they'd pull tens of billions of dollars out of the U.S. economy if that bill became law.
You know, here's the reality. The truth of the matter is, had the Saudis been not, quote-unquote, hands-off before 9/11, a lot of this suspicious activity that's discussed in the 29 pages would have been adequately investigated by the FBI. There was this belief before 9/11 that the Saudis were not to be investigated. You were to look the other way. So you had FBI agents who literally saw something very strange, very suspicious, questionable, and they were told to stop looking at it and to ignore it. And as a result of that, in my belief, the 9/11 attacks were able to happen. After 9/11, you had a slew of Saudis being flown out of the country at the behest of the Saudi government. And beyond that, any further investigation into that original suspicious activity before the 9/11 attacks was not looked into once again because it was the Saudis. So before the 9/11 attacks, it was the Clinton administration saying, like, their hands off, look the other way. After the 9/11 attacks, it was the Bush administration. Since the 9/11 attacks and the Bush administration, it's the Obama administration not allowing the Saudis to be fully investigated, fighting against the 9/11 families, and not supporting us in wanting to hold the Saudis accountable for their role in murdering 3,000 people on 9/11. And I think that's what's so upsetting is, you know, you look towards your government to protect you, to keep you safe, and to make decisions in your best interest when you're a United States citizen. And the reality is, when it comes to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the 9/11 attacks, the U.S. government, in most part, is not supporting the 9/11 families. We currently have legislation in Congress. It passed the Senate with unanimous consent, thankfully, back in the spring. It's pending in the House right now, and hopefully H.R. 3815, which is called the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, will be voted on the week of September 6th when Congress returns. But the truth is, the president has said he will veto that bill. And in the past, certain secretaries of state stood opposed to our holding the Saudis accountable in a court of law. They've evolved on their position, thankfully, and have said that they will support the 9/11 families holding the Saudis accountable in a court of law. But nevertheless, the Saudis throw a lot of money around Washington, and they buy their influence, and they buy the blind eye that's turned towards them. And that's what the 9/11 families are up against. You would think the U.S. government, President Obama, you would think he would support the 9/11 families being able to hold someone accountable, being able to have discovery, to see the evidence that's been collected. And there's a lot of evidence that the U.S. people have not seen. And yet President Obama, various members of the State Department, various members of Congress are against the 9/11 families in doing that.
Over at our website on the downloads page for you listening, we have the 29 pages. And after what you just heard Kristen say, go over there and download those 29 pages. And as you come to the various names in the 29 pages that were declassified, and it's not a all end all tell all, because out of those 29 pages, there are still 97 redactions. So it wasn't a totally open release of those pages. They're sort of glossing over that fact, too. But Google search some of those names that you'll see mentioned as, well, this could possibly be somebody, but we ran out of time. Could possibly be someone who were a person of interest, but nah, we don't think so. We're going to move on. And again, versus what was done then and what is known now about these individuals, you're going to see the picture that the government is trying to present of the Saudi connection versus the reality are two very true, different, dangerous pictures. And it also brings about a question. If Saudi Arabia was empowering of terrorism to the degree it was back then in 2001, what are they sticking their fingers and the money and their influence into in the world of terrorism today? Again, something that's no doubt will be dragged to the subterranean, because the truth would probably get a lot of people into situations they'd rather not be in right now. And again, Kristen, we thank you for your dedication. I think for you and the few other voices that have been supporting and demanding the truth come out, that the release of these 29 pages, no matter how it was attempted to be hidden, and as they say, timing is everything, well, worked against those who were thought that way, and a lot of people were paying attention, and hopefully a lot more people will continue to demand that all the truth comes out in one large situation, as opposed to drips and drabs to try to water it down, to lessen its impact, and to protect certain people's butts, because it's about human lives. It's not about politics. It's not about friends, favors, or money. And the work of people like you help us all remember this. So thank you for doing that, for being here today.
Chris, thanks. And if I could just add two more things to what you just said. What everyone needs to realize is, had this information been given to the American public back in 2003, there is no way we would have gone into the war in Iraq. Because there's 29 full pages not talking about Iraq, not talking about Iran, not talking about Syria, not talking about Yemen, solely devoted 29 pages to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and its role in the 9/11 attacks. So, you know, number one, people need to realize that that information was kept away from us and we entered the war in Iraq. Hundreds of thousands of lives lost, billions of dollars spent on that war, when in reality, we probably should have gone to war with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And second of all, because the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia continues to be one of the largest funders of terrorist groups, including Al-Qaeda and ISIS, to this very day, we are still vulnerable. We are still getting blown up and killed in attacks, all because the U.S. government, led by President Obama, is unwilling to hold the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia accountable. If they are held accountable, they will stop funding terrorist attacks. And that means lives will be saved. And that's why anyone listening needs to read the 29 pages, get outraged, call your senator and congressman, write letters to the editor, and let's work together to hold the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia accountable and stop the threat of terrorism around the world. It's too much. Too many innocent people are being killed, and our government is turning a blind eye, and it's unacceptable.
Thank you again, Kristen, for being here.
Thanks.